We're going to make it quick. 15 minutes.
Sorry.
Can y'all talk about Bulwark in 15?
We're going to try.
Let me look at the time. Ready?
Might wake me up.
What's going on, world? Welcome to another edition of Culture Connection. I am your host, Brother Malcolm, and this is Culture Connection. Before we get started today, remember you can catch us online at blackisonline.com. My Twitter account is Callie Yaley, C-A-L-I-Y-A-L-I-E. And don't forget, we're also on Facebook at Black Is Magazine. Today, it's been a while since I've been in the studio to record. Last week, we had an online post with some videos, and thank you for those who gave me a shout out about the Invisible Cities post. But this week, I thought I would talk about one of my favorite shows, the awesome, beautifully written, stunningly directed, the art direction, the costumes, the production design, just brilliant executive production, Emmy Award winning, Boardwalk Empire, HBO. And, of course, I had to enlist those faithful few folks who hold it down every Sunday, depending on what coast you're on at any given time, on HBO. And please give it up for Mr. and Mrs. Layman. The Laymans are in the house today. Say what's up, y'all.
What's going on, y'all?
What's up, everybody?
I'm laughing because I literally just finished watching the last episode. I'm still I'm a little in shock. Spoiler alert, we are going to talk about the show. So if you don't watch it or if you're behind, you might not want to listen to this episode. Basically, the premise of this episode, it's getting deep into the season, so you're finding out about all kinds of things. You know, the Capones are obviously really angry about the death of their brother, and so they're coming after people, and you get O'Bannon basically gets cut from the cut today, from this episode. You really find out just how genuinely sadistic Dr. Narcisse is. You also are starting to see a rip between Chalky and Nucky. You see a rip between Chalky and his family, particularly his daughter, Mabel. And you're also starting to see just things unravel. It's interesting because there's three episodes left. So it's going to be interesting to see how either things get tied up or how they continue to unravel until next season. I don't know about you guys, but what's exciting about this season for me is, one, just the exploration of and the introduction, obviously, of Black characters, but also the Black with Harlem, Dr. Narcisse, and all of his faction. And it's been exciting just to see the diversity on the show, because as a faithful viewer, it's always frustrating to watch something historical. And you're like, now this is a perfect opportunity to have some Black people. Why don't you have any? And they have actually heard the call. But I just love the show because it's so well written. It's beautifully shot. The characters have such depth. And the range of, and as we learned today on HBO Inside, is that it's a mixture of fact and fiction, because these are actual historical characters and historical events that they're weaving into this fictional story that's written. So it's a really dynamic piece of programming on cable network television. So just curious what your guys' thoughts are about the show and how you feel about what's going on and that makeup job, because, somebody got beat up this week looking like, I'm sorry, and this ain't to make fun, but I literally thought she was like a female Emmett Till.
Oh, man, she was close. And poor daughter Maitland, which I feel like we can delve into why her name is daughter. Was that her actual name? Was that the name that Narcisse gave her? Okay, so the show in general is awesome. It's beautifully written. Mm-hmm. It's everything about it is rich and entertaining. It gives you everything that you want every single week. This is a show where HBO is not cutting any corners, at least not where we can see it. And that I'm so appreciative of. I've read, actually, recently, there's an article that Ishmael Reed put out on the Wall Street Journal asking the question, is Boardwalk Empire trampling the legacy of Marcus Garvey? And he goes on to talk about the fact that the majority of the writers, in fact, all of the writers on the show are white. There's one biracial person who was on staff, but that they're very well researched, according to HBO, in regards to the information that they use. And at some point in the season, Narcisse, who we're really starting to see his character for what it is at this in this episode, he mentions that he's using an office that's Mr. Garvey's or a building that's Mr. Garvey's.
Yes, and then he does.
He has a banner in his office that has the Universal Negro Improvement Association, which was the actual name of Marcus Garvey's organization. And according to Ishmael Reed's research, the writers are telling us that this is not by mistake. It is purposeful. They are going to delve a little bit deeper into his relationship with Marcus Garvey. And so I guess Ishmael Reed's concern is that Marcus Garvey's legacy is kind of being besmirched because he's being mentioned next to this villain. But I don't want to judge it that harshly until we see where this develops. But I think it's interesting to consider.
It's interesting, but now I'm going to have to step in and just go a little ham. Like, Mark, when's the last time Marcus Garvey was mentioned on any show?
Ever.
Like, come on. Black people are never satisfied.
No.
Give me a break.
No, but that's the constant conversation
it's just, but
we've
it's
been
so
having,
frustrating.
Though.
That is so frustrating because I'm thinking to myself, here we're dealing with, we're living in a world right now where SNL is under a lot of fire because they don't have any women of color. They have one woman of color, no black women on SNL, and people are just up in arms about that. And here you have a network that has given countless black actors, not just work, but quality work. And usually I'm one to fight against, like, oh, that's just a role. But you're talking about have shown the fullness and the wholeness that is a black person, a black human being. And for us to go in and dig in and start nitpicking, like, well, is Marcus Garvey's miss? They didn't even have to, Dr. Narcisse didn't even have to be anywhere related to the Universal Negro Improvement Movement or have to be anywhere near Marcus Garvey. They could have had another storyline. But my thing is, there's an effort being made. And I'm sorry, until you are producing it, writing it, you almost have to be thankful for what you can get, particularly when majority culture is in charge. I'm not saying be thankful. Oh, thank you. Oh, great father, massa. You've been so good to us. But I'm just saying there's an effort being made. And what I do appreciate about HBO is that they do try and be, they do try and have historical accuracy. So for me, I don't know, I'm always the first one to defend black equity and equity of people's stories and existence. And I'm not buying it for that.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. No matter what we have as far as dramatization, I mean, we've had many conversations this year, folks complaining about, we got too many slave movies, we got too many movies where we subservient, we got too many negative, just depictions of us doing this, doing that. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you put out a quality product, for me, that's all that matters, because so much of our stories, be them historical or fictional, are not told. So it's nice to see something different.
And agreed.
4 seasons into Boardwalk Empire, I love the fact that the cast is oh so black. And I love every character that they're bringing into it.
And the classes in black and culture.
Right. Because the one thing that they also mentioned, okay, so Dr. Narcisse's character is based off of a real life character named Casper Holstein, who was one of the most powerful number runners in Harlem once upon a time. And he spent a lot of his money uplifting the black community. I don't think he was as much of a villain. Like, it's a very loosely based.
Which, at the end of the day, it's still entertainment.
Right. But what they wanted to showcase, too, was that there is definite classism. When you're dealing with some of the African-American folks who are from the islands, they came here with a lot more education. And so that put them in a different class than, straight up, Narcisse versus Chalky. You're looking at somebody coming from, either he's Jamaican or Bahamas, and Chalky's from Texas. So there go your two different types of black men, both.
And
trying
you can
to,
see it also in their skin tone.
Yeah, one light versus dark. I mean, and they go to the most extreme as far as that. But really showing here are these two black men, both in similar positions of power. It can be argued that one is more powerful than the other. But I honestly feel like it's really Narcisse, the way he carries himself, mm-hmm. that it, he elevates himself versus accepting subservience, and that's why he might appear to be greater than. But on some level, I feel like he and Chalky are very much toe to toe.
I think they are. You know, with that article, I guess he could seem to be mad because it seems like he's associating somebody evil with Marcus Garvey. You know, but then I'm like, there's been evil people in every organization.
Right.
I was like, we can go to the when they assassinated Malcolm X. I mean, like. Clearly, right. there was some fools who assisted in that.
Right. That were not positive.
Right. And even they show with that scene where they're at the club and Dr. Narcisse just completely just like, I'm going to just go sit down in the club in the front. And it that missed me for a second. I was just like.
It missed me too. I was kind of confused. Like, what's the problem? And I was like, they are segregated.
I saw it right from my jump.
Duh. I saw when he was, and then when Nucky looked at him like.
You should stand up.
Why are you sitting? Yeah, you should stand up. I was like, oh, dang. He was like, nope, I'm going to just sit down. Chalky, he, you know, partly he part owner of the club, so he don't care. He just like, this dude got to go. Mm-hmm. You know, and Narcisse is sitting there like, I'm going to be the cool, calm, collected black man, which is going to make me look better. Because he's been putting, you know, Chalky down from jump.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how these fans are going how they feel now. Because early on, it was like, oh, I can't wait to see what Dr. Narcisse do. Chalky can go. I'm not even tripping. And now I'm sure they're like, you know what? Cut this dude.
I'm going to tell you right now, the season ender, somebody's going to die. Mm-hmm. It's going to be somebody major. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, I have to say, it's interesting. There was a phenomenal article in The New Yorker posted by Hilton Owls. Shout out to Hilton, who's phenomenal, was a professor of mine at Yale. It's called On the Boardwalk. And I just want to open up with the first paragraph, which I completely agree with. He says, this season, the black storyline on Boardwalk Empire does something so extraordinary that I didn't think it was possible, certainly not on television, nor in film. It presents an entirely authentic 1920s Negro world, part Harlem Renaissance, perversity, and part Macbeth, all without sacrificing style. And he goes on to talk about really about the show and just, you know, the authenticity of the black world on the show. But then he also goes on to talk about the acting styles Michael K. White and Jeffrey Wright, which is very interesting because while I had an issue with Michael Kenneth White.
Yeah, Michael K. White.
I was just remembering that it was the K was Kenneth. I wasn't saying you was wrong, Casey. I wasn't saying you was wrong. I was like, oh, I remember the K. What's interesting is I've always been a fan of Jeffrey Wright. He is one of the most underrated actors of his generation.
Absolutely.
He to me is what people call Meryl Streep. He is one of the finest actors to ever grace a stage, the film. And so him being on this, the casting of him in this role is absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. And at first, because Hilton goes in on, he goes in on Michael K. White, and he just feels like, in comparison to Jeffrey Wright, there is no comparison. But I would argue that I think it's necessary for Michael's Chalky to be who he is. There's a certain vulnerability. There's a certain amount of ruggedness. A certain amount of unpolishedness that is, I think, absolutely necessary for the character. And in some points, even if it is like you think it's bad acting, it actually works for Chalky. It works in the sense that Chalky is self-made, gutta, and is now in a world where he never probably in his wildest imaginations expected to be. I mean, he runs his own club with one of the finest establishments on the boardwalk, and with high-end clientele.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs it.
It's his club.
It's his club. And so then you have a Dr. Narcisse who comes in with his refinement, his acumen, his erudition, and it's a beautiful contrast. It's a total beautiful contrast that I think works really well on the show.
And that's where I would have to challenge your professor. First of all, talking about Michael Kenneth White. If we know, I mean, all of us who watch HBO or have been watching HBO, we know him as Omar. Oh,
it's Michael Kenneth Williams. We are all wrong.
See? See, when we speak with all of this knowing.
Okay.
Michael Kenneth Williams. Michael Williams. Michael. Let me just start with that. We know him as Omar from The Wire. He was the most feared and one of the most brilliant characters on that show. Watching him in this role, you forget the role that he played in The Wire all those years, because this is a completely different character. That's how good of an actor he is. He can embody two different characters, two different time periods entirely. And you might want to draw parallels between Omar and Chalky, but they're not the same kind of man at all.
No, their emotional style is different. You know, Omar was real, like, chill the whole time. Like, nothing fazed him at all. And that gets to be with Dr. Narcisse's character. I mean, you slowly, you know, he opens windows where you get to see him emotionally. But most of the time, it's like you don't know how he's feeling because he's always in check.
Just even keel.
Right. And you know, with Chalky's character, I mean, you see it. When he's pissed, he's pissed.
Yeah.
When he's happy, I mean, it's like it's very simple. Like when something goes on, his emotion just flips.
And then one thing I noticed, too, from last week's episode, to me, that was awesome because it showed the chink in everybody's armor. Like, for one, the whole season they've been building up this dichotomy between these two men, the smart, erudite, calm Dr. Narcisse versus the country bumpkin, gutter, Chalky. But last week, and anybody who was watching the buildup is like, oh, my God, Chalky's about to get got. Like, he's actually falling. Like, he's actually letting a woman, like, cloud his judgment. We got to see just how clear of a businessman and a gangster Chalky is. Nothing is getting past him. Even though he's falling for this woman, he's smart. He didn't get into this position by default. Right. And then we also saw where Dr. Narcisse has his weakness. He's the sort of brother that calls himself coming into the hood, and he's going to help uplift everybody. But his method of doing it is not working for the people. So he comes in with his art and his play that he wrote, and that shit went over their heads like what? What that is this?
It went over mine. I was kind of like, what? This ain't your baby? And then you need to, like, wait a minute.
The baby represented the people. Mother Africa, Ethiopia.
Yeah.
It was a little deep.
It bothered him.
Yeah. Right.
That he was not able to have that level of impact. So you see where his weaknesses are. And this is what I love about this show. Yeah, really. That's what it is. It's ego. It's all the way ego. And because they've been giving us pieces of who the background, because when we first are introduced to him, you're thinking, okay, he's a calm brother, but he's not going to take no shit on behalf of black people the way he had that white woman brutally murdered and set up in that particular place. But once we find out he killed daughter's mom because she was a prostitute and he was the John, that gives us a little bit of information about him. He has no problem peddling heroin to the same people who he claims he's going to save.
He's a hypocrite.
Totally. And then after this,
preaching the gospel while not living it.
Right. And now that we know he got a serious Ike Turner situation going on, like, oh my God, you got to go. You got to go.
Let me tell you.
Team Chalky.
No. I'm not Team Chalky per se. Because neither one of these Negroes is necessarily doing right by the community. They're still both corrupt. But what I'm saying is I think they both add to another dynamic. And I don't actually want either one of them to go because they're two strong black characters right
they
now.
They might both kill each other, though. And they can't exist in the same
way. Well, he can't because, Dr. Narcisse is technically not his area. I mean, he's affiliated.
There may
with
be
the
some
club.
Deals made, you know, because that's happened with other. With Nucky and some of his folks, they've figured out, you know what? Well, we can both make money. This is your field. This is my field. We will not enter each other's land unless we have permission, and we're gonna make this work for both of us.
Right, but he's Dr. Narcisse, particularly on this episode, is where you know Nucky's like, okay, like what the fuck's going on? Because he didn't want to get involved. He's like, this is your thing. I'm not just going off somebody. You know, he's from New York. He got some power. I'm not just going to do that. But he's coming at Nucky so like, yeah, we got a problem and you need to handle it. I'm not hollering. I'm not going through Chalky. I'm going through you.
And
what's up?
Right. And Narcisse has already tried to kill Chalky because he doesn't want to work with Chalky from the jump. Mm-hmm. He has concluded that Chalky is beneath him. That whole king, a servant trying to be a king speech. He can't stay. Mm-hmm. They either one of them is going to die or they both going to die. But they can't. They cannot coexist. And now that this woman, daughter Maitland, is now in between the two of them, because Narcisse has had control of her, and Chalky has fallen in love with her, and seemingly she's fallen in love with Chalky, one of them has to go.
Well, all I can say is you need to tune in for the next three episodes. Yes. There are going to be some serious twists and turns. And what I love about this show is that you just don't know who's behind door number 1, 2, or 3, and you have no idea. Just when you think somebody is safe, somebody comes to knock them off.
Yes.
So please, ladies and gentlemen, remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You'll make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of our country, and a greater world to live in, a finer world to live in. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who, thank God, will not probably appear on this episode because I think that would be going too far. Thanks for tuning in this week, and thank you very much to the Laymans for sitting in with me. As always, have a great week. Peace.
Later. I just realized too now, we were calling him white because it's Chalky White.
I looked at that earlier.